What's going on, everyone? Welcome to River City 93. I'm your host, Elliot Barr, and with me I have...
Shania Duran II.
And, you know, we're going to start this week off on a positive note. Richmond won against the Greenville Triad. The game ended 1-0. In today's episode, we're also going to talk about our upcoming game against Chattanooga Red Wolves. And this episode is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Gold Press. So, to start things off, well, we already talked about the first win in League One. Some things that stood out to me, Dennis Chen, Mwape, Shinovsky, and Vroclav all getting starts. We didn't have Max Rodriguez in the midfield, but it kind of worked. It kind of worked out in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, as good as Maxi is, with the way Matt Baldock and Josh Hughes played in the midfield, it's like we didn't really miss him that much.
I would say that. I think both players played well off each other. I did, however, see Baldock. He seemed to be like the creator in the team a lot. He had the most chances created with 3-2 key passes, 78% passes completed, and he had the 1 assist for Joey G. It just seemed like he played very well in that kind of center mid box-to-box role.
Yeah.
Had a lot of good passes, and it seemed to be a natural fit for him there.
Yeah, I mean, he worked well. I mean, I'm curious to see what is going to happen when Maxi is back from the suspension.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that, too, because
I do feel that
coming back in, or are we going to go... Because, all right, so for those who saw the game, if you're following on FootMob or on... You know, watch on ESPN Plus, the formation looked the same, but they had people in different positions. Like, I think on FootMob, they had Scott Thompson on the wing, but ESPN Plus had him, like, as a fullback.
Yeah.
And then when you watch the game, you're like, the first was playing as a 3 in the back.
Yeah.
It looked like, it looked like 3-5-2.
Yeah.
With Mwape and Chen up top.
Yes.
So that's what it looked like. And then back on defense, it looked like to be like Thompson, Lockerbie kind of tucked in and kind of had like a solid five.
Yeah, when we were defending, those two dropped back to give us that width. But I think it was Akwe, Retzloff, and Shinovsky were holding down the middle and the back. They were pretty solid.
Yeah.
I'm glad Shinovsky is back in the lineup because his composure really set the tone early on. You could see in the first... like minute or two, our defense was kind of, you know,
scattered. It was kind of that thing. It was like Greenville got the ball, and you kind of just sense like, all right, they're trying to play this ball quick and over our heads quickly. Like, it was a lot of jump balls, it was a lot of 50-50 balls. And I'm kind of glad we had a player like Shinovsky back there, someone that can kind of just settle everyone down, get everyone relaxed and calm.
Yeah.
And kind of just like, hey, let's take the air out of the ball, let's slow the game down, let's make it work for us. And kind of peed out that possession. Subbed out a lot. He played a lot of great balls into the midfield.
Yes.
Something that, you know, they, we were kind of missing those breaking line passes.
Yeah.
So Greenville came into this game, only allowed 7 shots on target, which is second in the league. So, you know, one thing that we've been complaining a lot for Richmond is the lack of shots on goal.
Yeah.
And that's something in the first half, like, we had opportunities, we had chances, breaking down, you know, play and possession. And even Lockerbie in the 23rd minute had a great run in when he beat, like, what, 5 people?
Oh, he just, he blew through 5 defenders, and it wasn't even just on some speed. It was literally he using strength, skill, got past 4, 5, 6 defenders and was able to get a cross in.
Like, it was... If the goal comes from that, I believe that would have been goal of the week. We're going to talk about the goal of the week later on.
Yeah.
But Lockerbie in that minute, he had a tremendous skill of play. Cut it back into Mwape, but he got it cleared out. And you can kind of just get the feeling like Greenville was like, yo, this is not the Richmond team we were expecting to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can see as the season's going on that this Richmond team is evolving.
Yeah.
And you're seeing new faces. I think this is Mwape's first start.
I think, yeah, he's the first start.
Retzloff, I think this is his first start as well. You could see, and Chen, this is his first start. I mean, of course, he's played before, but this is his first time in the starting 11. you could see that this team is evolving. Players are slowly dwindling, coming back from injury, and we're able to fill in those spots.
It is like now you can see, like, all right, this is what Coach Buelow wanted. This, you can see the style of play. You can see the flexibility in the positions. I think Joey G position is a number 10. Like, I think he is a number 10 for us.
Yes.
Just the way how he can get the ball from the midfield, connect passes to the striker, kind of run off the striker. He doesn't have the build of, like, a traditional number 9. Yeah. But I believe he has someone to play off of. It works right. And you can kind of see that moments where it was one moment. I can't remember the exact minute. But Chen had the ball, and Joey G is making a run off of his right-hand side. And Chen is trying to just through-ball that ball through a defender into the path of Joey G, who likely Joey G gets the ball. He's one-on-one with the center back. I think it was Evan Lee.
Yeah.
Then granted, the ball gets cut out. But you can see, like, that's what they want to do. And you can kind of see, like, versus, if you look at week one against Lansing, and I know Lansing's not the best example since we lost them twice, but look at that first half, and look at the first half of this game, and you could just see, like, it's not players looking and be like, all right, now I make this run. It's now more of they anticipate it before it happens.
Yeah. They're learning each other. They're knowing what each other are capable of and anticipating what their fellow teammate is going to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, in Wapi, if it is, even though this is his first start, he impressed a lot. He had a lot of great dribbles, seemed very dangerous, someone that wanted to stay up top, wanted to attack.
Yeah.
My only concern is he lost the ball 5 times, but the 5 times came out of him
trying to create something. Yeah.
In a team where we are, you know, dead last in shots created, that's kind of helpful to have. I mean, granted, you want to see more shots, you want to see more opportunities, but in order to get those opportunities, you got to create the chances. And he's creating the chances, you know, he's trying to create. I told him, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, it'll come eventually where other players will know exactly what he's doing and be able to support him on the runs that he's making.
I totally agree with that. I do also believe that Akira, now Matt Baldock got player of the game.
Yeah.
I totally believe it should have been Akira. Like, I will stand on that soapbox and take Akira. One, because he had 3 big saves in the game. He had one in the 5th minute where Paul Clowes kind of takes the ball off of, I think it's Baldock, at the top of the box, and he just right foots it into the left upper corner. And Akira,
Full stretch. Just puts that out for a corner.
It's just like, all right, our keeper's here to play. And then we had another moment in the 66th minute where, I'm not gonna lie, like, I was like, oh god, here comes the goal. Like,
exactly. Here comes the
draw. Like, and Paul Clowes wins the ball in the midfield. He passed it quickly into Gomez. And those who don't know, Gomez is like their engine. Like, he is.
Yep.
The creator of Greenfield Triumph. So I'm like, oh god, Gomez got the ball. This ain't good. And then he slots it into Keegan, who is their scorer. And it looked like Keegan panicked for a second. Like, he tried to, like, he looked like at first he wanted to chip it, but then he realized, like, yo, I can't chip it over Akira. So then he tried to slide it underneath Akira. Akira's able to make the save. It bounces off.
Yeah, Akira just made himself as big as possible. He just came out. He didn't hesitate. And that's one thing you try and teach players at a young age who are playing goalie. Don't hesitate to come out. And he did not hesitate. He just came straight out, made himself as big as possible, and got the block.
I totally agree. I think, and then, so the ball bounces off of Akira. It falls to Paul Clowes. I just shouldn't laugh at his last name. Bounces to Paul Clowes, who I'm pretty sure if you give him an opportunity again, he is rifling that. Yeah. Trying to play putt around Balogaz, who tips it out. And that's the difference between a win and a loss.
Yeah, I know, I feel it. If I'm Balogaz in that situation, I'm playing the lottery because. He gave it right to him. It's like he passed it to Malagas.
He did. It was right on the line. And I'm pretty sure Paul Clowes looked at Hollis like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So that happened. But then, you know, the moment that made every River City fan happy and excited, every Richmond Kickers fan excited and happy, was Joey G scored.
Oh.
And it was magnificent.
Yeah, it wasn't just a tap in or a hit and hope shot.
I say this, and I'm standing on my soapbox that I got. In America, soccer, there are certain goals that are scored, and then you have people that are like, oh, it's an American, the skill of play is worse.
Mm-hmm.
If that goal happens in Europe or Liga Yankees or in a Copa America, it's going to replay 1,000 times.
It is. It is.
And the thing about it is, when you score a great goal, it's a great goal.
Regardless of what league you're in, regardless of where you are.
Like Nick Moonshot last week, great goal.
Yes.
This goal Joey G scored, great goal. So what happened was, Chinati gets the ball back after Akwe passes it to Akira. So Chinati has the ball kind of like the top of the 18. He kind of does like a slap-footed pass to Bodok. Bodok, I'm not going to lie again, made a great turn of skill. This is probably why they made him player of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this moment, it's very easy for you to get that ball and you have Greenville trying to play this behind you
mm-hmm.
to easily turn to the wing and be like, all right, I'm going to
just lay it off and try and make a run.
Make a run or pay it back to the person who plays it and then get deeper in. But he got the ball and turned. And it was like a revolving door. Like, he turns and the Greenville trial players kind of like go behind him, like, oh, yep. Got you. And it kind of just opened up a door for him to slide into Joey G. Joey G, to his credit, gets the ball. And I think, I had to slow it down for a second. I think the ball gets tipped away from him. But he gets tipped away from it in a way that is still in his path.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't have to now recreate. It's kind of like going in the natural flow of things.
Yeah, he didn't have to break his stride. He just went right into the ball.
And one thing I saw was Greenville Triumph players, and we both kind of saw it, was Greenville Triumph players, no one really stepped.
Not completely. No one completely committed to trying to win the ball.
It was one of those things where people would step, but it was like, I know I'm getting close to the 18. I don't want to fully commit and create a penalty.
Because
the way how Joey G is making that run, you go full in, tumble it over, you give a free kick at the top of the 18, or you get
or
a penalty.
Or the PK inside the box,
It's like, all right, I don't want to be the one that does that, and I got to give him credit. He slots it into the bottom right corner. Great goal. Great goal. I can't be more than happy with it. I think all the Taboo Brewery probably was like, oh! Like, everyone was just mad excited.
Yeah. I mean, just you bringing up the fact that it will be a downplayed goal because it's not Premier League, it's not La Liga, it's not Champions League, it's not Serie A, it's not Bundesliga. But it reminds me of when Leicester had that great run and won the league in the Premier League, and how many people were basically saying, with regards to Jamie Vardy, I mean, if his name was James Vardinho, he'd be winning the Ballon d'Or after that season. But no one cares because it's Leicester, because it's the Premier League. And for a long time, even though the Premier League is the most popular league, you've been getting a lot of people from the dark side saying that, oh, the Premier League isn't that great. English players aren't that great. And I feel that Joey G will probably get that same stick. Will probably get that effect of, oh, he's just a player USL League One, so it doesn't matter.
Keep in mind that he is a U.S. national team, I think, under 20 player.
Yeah.
Like, the kid played for the U.S. national team under 20 team, so the kid has skill.
He has skill.
He can have skill and not do that. And look, I know some people are probably listening to this right now, like, why are these guys going on a tangent about this? We're not going on a tangent. We're just talking about it, like, if you go back and watch the highlight of it,
basically, at the end of the day, if Messi scores that goal, it's all over social media. It's like all over Twitter. It's getting replayed over and over, and you're hearing the guy on BN Sports like literally go crazy.
It was a great bit of play by him. thing about it is that impressed me so much is, one, it's our first lead of the season.
Yep.
And then, two, it was kind of like Richmond now looked like they were in the flow.
Exactly. Like everything exactly. They kind of relaxed.
Yeah, it kind of looked like the start of the game, Coach Buelow was able to execute his gameplay the way how he wanted to. My only two concerns out of this game, and granted, we won, that's all being praised, but we still got to work on a few things, is one, shots. We have to take more opportunities.
Yeah.
We can get them. Like I mentioned earlier, we're dead last in shots on target. I think we have 1.8, and I think the next team above us has at least 2.8 or 3.
Yeah.
So we got to take more shots on goal.
I think ever since Maxi was sent off in the last game, Richmond Kickers have only had one shot on target. So that's practically an entire game and a half with not a single shot on target. It's alarming. I mean, at the end of the day, you're in a league where you've got people like, what's the name from Lansing last week, rifling shots from outside the 18. It's been a very... I think the last time I saw Richmond Kicker score a shot from outside the 18, it was Jason Yeisley. Jason Yeisley's volley from the top of the box. That's a long time ago.
I want you to know, Shadir has like a personal infatuation with Jason Yeisley's goal. Like, he talked... If you ask him, he will talk to you about it in detail.
It was a beautiful goal. That was definitely up there, world-class, late run into the box, volley from the top. It was great. But that's the last time we took a shot from outside the 18. And then that's the last time we scored a goal from outside the 18. Because we did take... Joey G did take a shot from outside the 18 today. But it was so tame. I mean, a U-12 goalie could have just put his hands on that.
Yeah.
And it's... I feel that that's something that maybe needs to be worked on in training. I know we've got guys that can rifle some shots. So put your foot through it. If it goes over, oh well, keep trying.
Hey, gotta try it. All right, so with that being said, this leaves Richmond in 8th place.
Yes.
But the weird thing is, we're 2 points out of 2nd place.
Yep.
So technically, and I think Tormenta sits on 7 points, so we're 3 points behind the 1st place team. You get a win next week, you might be finding yourself in a playoff position, depending on how results go. But this is our 2nd clean sheet of the season. We're tied with Tormenta clean sheets.
And don't we have 3 home games in a row?
Four.
3 league home games
in a row. Yeah, 3 league home games.
The U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open game. But yeah, we're tied with Tormenta on clean sheets this season. So I got to say, and I think it was... my apologies. Sectional resident on Twitter who mentioned the point of, if we can clean up our mistakes in the back, like how we kind of closed out this game, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a shutdown knockout defense.
We should. We definitely have the players to do so. It's just a question of them getting used to each other and getting used to playing together, getting used to communicating. It's going to take couple weeks, and I think we're getting there now. We're getting to that point where they're starting to learn each other. They're starting to play better together.
So I listened to Coach Buelow's interview after the game, and he kind of had the sentiments, and he kind of like, it was a sentiment of, yeah, we're glad this is our first win. It's a good accomplishment. It kind of helps us change the direction, kind of change the tide and the mood around the whole program.
Yeah.
But this is not the end all be all. This is not going to be our highlight. This is not going to be our showcase.
Mm-hmm.
This is a building block. We still have a bunch of things we need to work on, things we need to get under the box. But these are good positive stuff moving forward. And that's a good thing. That's the thing you want to see. Like, when you go on the road, and especially in a league that you're not used to, you want to get your first one underneath your belt. Albeit it's on the road, it helps you out.
Mm-hmm.
The strength case is going to be, can Richmond get the wins at home? That's going to be like the test. But we're going to take a quick ad break real quick. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. If so, we would like you to go support Atomic Locust Apparel. Where you can get your own River City 93 t-shirt. You can catch me and Shanair at the next home game rocking these t-shirts. You can use discount code NJW3FVWD. and get 10% off your purchase. So go to AtomicLocustApparel.com. We'll put it down in the show notes below. You can click on the link and go buy a t-shirt to support the podcast. All right, so the next game coming up is 7 p.m. this weekend. We play Chattanooga Red Wolves. How are you feeling about this game?
I'm feeling good about it.
Feeling good?
Strangely enough, especially while I'm watching the Kickers game, I'm hearing the announcer say that 17 minutes into the Chattanooga game, Chattanooga's up 3-0.
I want you to know when I got that alert. So, for those who don't know, I was on League One's Fun podcast this past week, and they asked for my prediction on the Chattanooga and Tormenta game. And I said, Tormenta's going to go up 4-0. Like, I thought it was going to be done, dusted, Tormenta cruising. So I'm at Taboo Brewery, and I get the alert, and I'm like, Chattanooga goal. I'm like, hey, got it. 10 minutes later, Chattanooga goal. Is my phone broken? Like, maybe football messing up. And then the 17-minute Chattanooga goal, 3-0. I'm like, yo, did Chattanooga, like, wake up and decide, like, you know what? It's time to play.
When you watch the highlights, you see that it was not Chattanooga's skill that got those goals. It was just terrible defending. Apart from the third one. The third one was a great through ball that just took about four defenders out of the game.
It was a curvy through ball that
was good.
Took out the middle part of it.
The whole middle part of the field was out of the game with that ball that went in. But the other two, the first one, I mean, I think that just set the tone.
Yeah.
With a ball looping over, and the goalie comes out to head the ball, which I don't understand why. I think the Chattanooga player is far enough that he can wait for it to bounce and catch it inside the box. Could. But he tries to go for a header and overruns it, and the ball ends up looping over his head.
It was like one of those moments. What's the Rocky, Ricky Bobby quote? Like, oh my God, I'm in the air, I'm flying. Like, that's what you see when the goalkeeper did. Like, he has like that moment. Like, he jumps up and he's looking at it like, I'm not
going
to get this ball.
Yep, and he just watches it go over his head as he's jumping to try and head the ball. And Chattanooga's forward just runs right past him and just tap in into an empty net. The second one was just, it looked like tired legs on defense. And it's like, you're just the first 10 minutes of the game. No legs should be tired. What's going on?
I would say this. I think that first goal caught Tormenta where, and I know we're playing Chattanooga, but if you watch the highlights from this game, you would totally understand where we're coming from on this. Like, it looked like that first goal took everything out of Tormenta.
And it was did. Just like, what just happened?
Poop, what's this? And then the second goal goes in 10 minutes, and then it's like, yo, any game plan we got, scrap it.
Yeah, the house is on fire.
Yeah, it's, you like, we gotta fix this. And then the third goal, and you can just see, is like, watching this game, and granted, I only watched the first half, it looked like Chattanooga was pressing very high, very aggressively. I do not want to use the pun of, I know they're Red Wolves and they were attacking like Wolves, but that's what it looked like.
They were.
Like anyone that had the ball, it was like 2-3 men.
Just jumping
somewhere
all
around them.
Mm-hmm.
So Chattanooga comes in to this upcoming game, 2 wins, 2 losses, 0 draws.
Yeah.
The thing is, they have not won a game on the road yet. So their win was on the road. Their 2 wins are at home.
Not only that, you're looking at, I feel any other team that we've played, Lansing, Tormenta, Greenville, they go up 3-0 in the first 17 minutes. They are closing up shop, and that game is over.
Yeah, I agree.
In the last 20 minutes of the game, Tormenta get 2 goals back, and it looks like they're trying to go for a third. And that lets me know that Chattanooga has an issue closing out games.
Yeah.
That they got lucky that it would just end at 3-2 for them, but you've got to be able to close out games. And it seemed like, especially with the commentary, just that the whole second half, Tormenta were just coming at them. It just wave after wave after wave of attack and attack and attack, and Chattanooga just had no answer for it in the second half.
Yeah.
You're up 3-0, yes, but you don't want to park the bus too early because that's how when you invite the pressure. Yeah, because then
it's hard to start back up and
feel like you invite the pressure. Exactly.
I do agree with that. I think also the sentiment of if Richmond can hit, Richmond has scored every goal this season in the second half.
Yeah.
Now, do we want to score early? Yes. But if you got to be logical and think about it, you can hold Chattanooga 0-0 at halftime and then get your goals in the second half where you've proven that it has worked, then so be it. I think Richmond fans just want to see goals and shots on target.
I do too, because I think with the caliber of players that Chattanooga have in their front line, our back four can handle it, or back three, whichever
we can handle. I'm not going to lie, look at the Chattanooga team and then look at the Richmond team. I mean, granted, both of us weren't red, but the team seemed very similar. Like, a lot of veteran leadership on both sides. Some promising youth, some experienced leaders at key parts. I was talking to Adam Bruce of Soccer Chat. I'm going to be on his podcast later talking about the upcoming game. He mentioned there's three players that we need to look out for. Iman Zayat, who scored the second goal this past game.
And well, that one was a pretty decent goal, too.
Stephen Beatty, who is the captain, and I think he's also played for Cork City in Ireland, so I don't know. Okay. He seemed pretty good. He had a brace. And then Venji Zagru, who is the left back. Interesting thing about him, this past game, he had the most dribbles with four in that game for a left back. So that lets me know, like, the lapback is a veteran. He will get up the field. Maybe that's something that we can take advantage of.
We could take advantage of that because when you look at players like Boateng, players like Mwape, they like to sneak wide whenever there's a counterattack. They like to go wide to exploit that space. So now you have a fullback pushing up with the ball. They end up losing the ball. You're looking at maybe Boateng, Mwape, maybe even Joey G floating out on the wing to receive a pass over into the space that fullback just left.
And I think with Maxi coming back, I think having that ability to get those balls out to those wings, if we know Chattanooga's fullbacks are going to push up, I think having Maxi there to spread those balls out to the wings will help out tremendously of lay out pressure. One thing that also stood out, and this is another stat that I find, is that we are second in the league in possession one in the final third, but we have made, like I said, I keep saying the stat because it's just weird to me. Like, we have the most possession, second, but we have the least amount of shots on goal. And I think this is a game where I do not want to jinx it, knock on wood. I believe we're going to see shots on goal from Richmond. I think the front three, I think of Chen, Gallardo, I think Maxi coming back, Bulldogs in form right now, Lockerbie's in form. I think we're going to see more opportunities created. I would love to see us stick with this formation right now.
Me too.
Only thing I say switch out is take Hughes, switch him with Maxi.
Yes.
And
because Josh Hughes was stellar. Yeah. In this game on Saturday. He played very, very well. Him and Matt Bulldog worked that midfield very well. But I can see if Maxi comes back into that center midfield position, Josh being pushed out to the wing. I don't think he needs to be put on the bench. I think he still needs to start. But put him out on the wing to support, to add some width to that midfield possession.
I do believe that, and if we don't stick with it, I think we'll do like a hybrid version of it that we did against Tormenta, where we'll play a 4-2-3-1, but Maxi will drop into that third center back role, and you'll see Thompson kind of push up to be another extra winger, or depending on where the ball at, you'll see, Lockerbie push up. Yes. So just depending on where the ball is at, who will push
up. Yeah, kind of have a seesaw back and forth. Yeah, kind of
push up back and forth, which I think will play great to our advantage. It'd be great to have Maxi back. Opener. So, besides this game, we have another three home games. We have Lansing and Knight, which is the third game. Second game.
Them again.
Yep. This will be our last time playing them, so.
We need to get one. We can't let them sweep us. With the way they played this game against Greenville, if the kickers can play like this against Lansing, I don't think Lansing can hold us.
I don't want to go on a tangent. If Maxie doesn't get that red card, I guarantee that we win that game. I guarantee it.
I don't know. I don't know if we win that game, but I can definitely see a draw. I can definitely see us shutting them out. And with us shutting them out, I feel that there wouldn't be as much pressure to score a goal, and we wouldn't be able to get that one goal that Chin got. Yeah. I do see that game ending 0-0 like the Tormenta game did, because we had them locked down until Maxie got that red card. Then it was basically damage control for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I agree. So we know who we're going to be playing in the U.S. Open Cup. It's going to be Virginia United. They play in a Latin league in Northern Virginia. And then we close out with FC Tucson. So four straight home games. You imagine if you get, excluding the cup game, you got three league games. If you can get 7 points out of those three home games, that's big. That's really big going into, I think, two road games after that. So that will help out tremendously. We, stand in points. And really, this league is so close.
With 10 teams and no one really just rolling over everybody, this league is going to flip-flop all season. Yeah,
Because, Tormenta had an opportunity to put their foot on it. They're not on 7 points, they're on 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
But Tormenta had an opportunity this past week to put a stranglehold on it. They had an opportunity to go 11 points here, 5 points top of the table. And a team like Chattanooga, who's been, struggling.
Yeah.
Gets a big win. And now they're sitting in the playoff position. If we get a win on Saturday, we're, right up there in the playoff position, depending on how results go and everything, how everything plays out. But it's a league full of parity right now. It's a league full of parity, and it's kind of exciting to see, because you never know what you're gonna get. The dominant team.
Exactly, you're not looking at basically having three or four teams look like, okay, these teams are gonna be in the top. They're gonna go to the playoffs by midsummer, Midsummer, we're still going to be like, I have no idea who's going to end up where.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is going. And that's exciting. That's exciting. I like that. That makes it more, that makes the games mean more. Every game means something. And when every game means something, you're bound to have, there's a higher chance of you getting some spectacular events happening.
Yeah, I agree with that
Joey G goal.
We gotta get him on
Moon's,
the podcast.
Moon's goal. I definitely want him on the podcast.
Joey G and Maxie gotta be the first two. That's my thing. So anything else from you this game, past game against Triumph, or this upcoming game against Chattanooga?
As long as our back line does not play the way Tormenta's back line played, I think we're going to be okay against Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Because this was the highlight of this game was a negative one, and it was Tormenta's backline. I don't know what happened to them. They have been good so far up until this point. Now all of a sudden they just tanked. I don't know what happened to them in that game, but it's like they fell asleep back there.
And I think the other thing too, I think it was very important to bring Shinovsky back into the lineup. Even though he wasn't a captain and Kara was, I think having him on that back line kind of just to organize things. Everyone settled, helped out a lot. He did get subbed off for Malagas. That's something I want to keep my eye on. As a center back, because you never really see center backs getting subbed out around the 60th minute.
Yeah.
But really, you don't see center backs getting subbed out at all, but that's something I want to keep my eye on. And I don't know if it's just a tactic switch or just like, hey, we just want to limit minutes because we got such a long season.
I mean, it could be that, or I don't know if, because I do feel that Malagas is a more mobile center back.
Yeah.
He's more... While Shinovsky, like, as you said in I think, I'm not sure if it was last, I think it was last week, you said that Shinovsky kind of reminds you of Vincent Kompany.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Malagas kind of reminds me a bit of David Luiz, is more of a, I'm going to kind of put forward a little bit, center back, and get involved with the attack, and I think, I don't know.
Those guys of center back always, like, scare me. Like,
they scare me too. They scare me so much.
Because I can just see, like, this
that leaves a giant pocket.
Yeah, which is like David Luiz. Like, David Luiz to me, and I gotta remember that he used to be a center defensive mid.
That's what he plays like.
Like, he used to be a center defensive mid, and I think he got moved to center back. And then just to see him, like, push up, like, it still boggles my mind that people think David Luiz can take free kicks. Because he literally just, like, lines up and just, like, straight line. Like, there's no effort. There's no curve. It's like, I'm shooting in this direction.
I'm shooting it right there. So let's see if you can get to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, that's what it is. But that's another thing besides the point. that's your two-minute tangent for today. So we just want to say thank you guys for all the support you've shown us through the show so far. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at RiverCity93. You can also listen to us on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor FM, and of course the Beautiful Game Network. That's a lot of places you can listen to us at. And it's all because of your support. Honestly, guys, you guys have helped us out a lot in the beginning of this podcast and starting it. So we just want to say special thank you to our listeners. And then also, you can go check out our two sponsors. Our first is Golden Gold Press, the best choice for getting your custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or for your organization if you want to. You can check them out. Go to their website, goldengoldpress.com, for all their amazing products at a fraction of the price. And also, you can go check out Roughneck Scarves. I don't know why I tripped over that. The official scarves are part of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. You can get your custom scarves for your group or team at Roughneck Scarves. That's going to be a trouble for me all podcast. I can see it. .com. So, again, that website is roughneckscarves.com. And with that being said, guys, keep us on the good side.